My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Doug Whaley in with us for a full hour. My gosh, it's always fun to talk to Doug, but it is the perfect time to talk to Doug with everything going on between the Steelers and the 49ers, the Browns still involved in attempting to acquire Brandon Ayuk. Doug Whaley is brought to us by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Good morning to you, Doug. You've dried out after sitting through last night's Pirate game?
Yes, I did. A little foggy, but I tell you this much. It was a little disconcerting that when the rain stopped, you saw on the big board, 8:15 return. Then 8:15 comes, and you see a bunch of guys out there or just dealing with that warning track, which I'm not a construction engineer, but you'd think they'd have like maybe a French drain out there.
I think they do, and it's clogged.
Oh, it's clogged. That's what it was. Okay.
Yes, apparently they had problems with this over the weekend, but the rain wasn't as hard as it was, but they didn't find a way to fix it between then and now.
But those field workers have to be unionized, because what you'd see is a wave of them come out, do a little bit of work, bunch of guys standing around, then another wave, they would go back in, take their 15-minute break. Mm-hmm. Another wave would come out. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it started back up. I think it was around 9:30, 9:45. Started back. Stayed till 12:30 till the end. One question I have, I don't know if you guys saw the game, but on the fifth inning when the Padres got their four runs that were obviously insurmountable, three balls hit gloves.
Yes.
And they didn't call them errors.
I know.
There any explanation for that?
I think that's kind of hometown scoring. Honestly,
because
you protect those guys, you don't protect Woodford, who I actually thought was pretty good. All those plays needed to get made.
Every one of those plays. And I thought Woodford was dealing the cards the way you wanted to. I was surprised they took him out when they did. But again, like you said, no, they didn't have his back.
They don't play defense for him.
No.
O'Neal Cruz had three errors in one game last time he was out there. So he's got to be up here thinking, man, I played for the White Sox, and the defense I'm getting is worse than we got in Chicago.
But I know you guys gave the shout-out. I also give the shout-out to the Pirate organization to offering two tickets for anybody that stayed, because it was a labor of love for all those fans.
Yeah, you're a sick man.
I am.
You are. You really do
no,
like the Pirates.
I'm a committed man. When I commit to something, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back tonight.
What?
Wow.
Yes.
I'd have been gone, buddy, when they said 8:15 restart.
Right.
I'd have been out of there.
Out.
No chance. Send me my tickets in the mail to another game. I'm done. Eat some nachos and then peace. All right. So Brandon Ayuk to the Steelers has picked up more steam. Some reported that the Steelers were out yesterday morning, and now the reports are that they're in. We had Ray Fittipaldo on earlier in the show, and he says it's at least 50-50, he thinks, that the Steelers get Ayuk. I'm interested, though, Doug, in how you would be handling this from a 49ers standpoint. Like, they've given Ayuk a ton of the power here, because Cleveland, by all accounts, had a very good offer on the table that has still not been accepted. Why? Because Ayuk doesn't want to go there. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots are now out of the running because he definitely damn sure doesn't want to go there. So how do you think the 49ers have handled all this?
If I'm John Lynch, I'm sitting here saying, okay, if you poo-pooed those two, guess what? In the end, we ultimately hold all the cards. Because if you don't want to play for us and want to play for someone else, and they don't meet what we think is the proper compensation, we'll hold on to you. And if you don't want to play, it's not like that year of service is counted and you're closer to free agency. Your contract tolls. So you're going to be at the same spot you are that you are right now next year without a year of service, without and getting a year older and a year of not playing. And we still hold your rights. And if we really want to, we can just fine you for all the whole year. Mm-hmm. So that money, so you're missing out on money, losing money, and you're not playing to get better and keeping your name out there as one of the top 15 wide receivers because you didn't produce last year. So it's a fine line there. But like I said, if I'm John Lynch, I'm not just going to give you away because that sets a precedent. Now everybody else on that roster is like, oh, if I just stand up and say I don't want to be here and then dictate, I can do that because they did it with Ayuk. So that's that fine line that John Lynch is playing here, is making sure you get the proper return without giving in to this guy.
What would you ask for if you're John Lynch? Like, and you would be just, this is my stance. This is what we want.
I'd ask for a first. I couldn't see going less than 2+. Give me a second plus another pick and a player, or a 1 and a player, or just a 1. I think that's, you have to, because you just don't want to be in the market of giving away good players. As a general manager, your main job is to collect talent, the best talent. And for you to give it away for peanuts or pennies on the dollar, then everybody else is going to be like, whoa, wait a minute. Not only in the locker room, but all the 31 other teams, then that's when you can get through an agent to a player. We want you. You want to come here. Start barking to John Lynch. Hold out. He'll cave. You don't want, as I was taught early in this business, reputations are easy to get, hard to live down. And if he gets a reputation of somebody that will cave under pressure by a player, a prominent player, the vultures will be out.
So you are the perfect guy to talk to about all this stuff. I think it's fascinating, and I threw this theory out there yesterday, Doug. So Ayuk, by all accounts, doesn't want to go to Cleveland. If he did want to go to Cleveland, that deal would have been cemented already. So given that the 49ers have given Brandon Ayuk and his representation the ability to talk to these other teams, couldn't Ayuk's agent be on the phone with the Steelers and Omar Khan's just saying, hey, listen, be patient. We want you. You want to be here. Don't you sign anything. Don't you jump at this opportunity with Cleveland. We're getting close here. Can't you collude basically with him and have and talk to him directly and say, just don't do anything silly just yet because we could ultimately make this deal here?
Absolutely, because what you obviously, when the 49ers gave him permission to seek a trade, then that's when the agents are beating the phone saying, all right, because anybody that trades for him is going to have to do a new deal. What's the structure of this deal? So Omar can be like, listen, here's what, let's agree on this. We'll work out the compensation with San Francisco. But if someone comes in and trumps our deal, keep us in mind. Let us know. And then we can come back and revisit it if we really want to. Or Omar's like, hey, this is our final offer. If it's in ballpark, keep us in mind. If not, we're good. And I think that's another thing that may be going between John Lynch and Omar. Lynch is like, let me get your final offer. And Omar's like, this is our final offer. All right, we'll let you know if that's it. So there's a lot of ways to do it. And I didn't deal with John Lynch much, but when I dealt with a lot of people, it was, hey, we can go back and forth. Like, let's call, you propose this, I propose this. And after a while, you're just like, hey, what's your best offer? Mm-hmm. Let's get this done. Mm-hmm. Enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And I think
it's, you know, you're a Super Bowl contender. You think they're hanging over your head?
You think that's where they're at right now?
I don't know, just because it's so still early in the preseason. I think if I'm John Lynch, I'm holding out. If you want them now, you're going to still want them last week of preseason, right after all the preseason games. But again, if someone gets hurt for a contender, like CeeDee Lamb, maybe he says, I'm out. Dallas might say, all right, let me trade for Brandon Ayuk, and I'll overpay compared to what the Steelers are. So that's why, if I'm John Lynch, patience, hold up. You can hold out till even after cutdown date that first week of the season.
You know what would be interesting, Doug? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. The Steelers don't negotiate contracts in season. In order to get Ayuk, you'd have to negotiate the contract. So if they push this thing into the season, I wonder if that means the Steelers don't do it.
They got a scapegoat. Well, we had this done way before the trade was.
See, that's a general manager brain over there. You got questions for Doug, you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's say it's $28 million for four seasons, plus a couple of picks. Is Brandon Ayuk worth that to you?
I was thinking about this and listening to you guys coming in, and for me, as long as it's not a first rounder, I don't care about the money. You will be able that caps. Well, depends on this Sunday ticket verdict.
Well, it just got wiped away. Yeah,
imagine that.
No, it's very ironic.
Yeah,
shocking development there.
32
right.
American oligarchs getting what they want. Interesting.
Right. Never happened before.
That only happens in Russia. But anyway, I'm sorry. What was the question?
Is it worth it?
Yes. Yes. And this is what I was going to say. Thinking about it coming in is not only does he help your offense, I think it puts your defense on track to from being a 21st rated one to top five, because now you are playing with leads, and that's when that defense is at its best. That's when Highsmith, Watt can just tee off. That's when Hayward's not getting double teamed playing the run. That's when Minka can be a ball hawk. So now that elevates not only your offense and your scoring production, but your defense, and now you become a complete team.
Why do you think he wants to play for the Steelers? Like, why do you think the Steelers are the team? And not going to New England whenever New England just said they'd make him the top five highest paid receiver, or even the Browns in that sense too?
I would have to say just the aura of the Steelers and Tomlin. And I know a lot of people don't like Tomlin, but these are some of the things that Tomlin brings that a lot of other coaches – Jarrett Mayo's not bringing it, right? Dan Quinn at Washington's not bringing it, and he had Daniels as his college coach. So Stefanski's not bringing it in Cleveland. So these are some of the things that are off the field, out of the coaching decision ranks that Mike Tomlin brings to the Steeler organization.
Mike Tomlin, in his press conference, was just asked about Brandon Ayuk. What did he say? We'll tell you when we come back. Also, who's going to play, who's not going to play in the preseason game? Right from Mike Tomlin's lips, we'll get it to you when we come back. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Doug Whaley with us.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerd!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Till 10. Mike Tomlin just wrapped up talking to the media, and we have the full press conference. Callis is going to work to turn some of that audio around, but Mike Tomlin was asked about whether or not they could add a receiver, and his response was, I'll let you guys speculate about that. Now, that is a vague response by Mike Tomlin. That is exactly what we thought Mike Tomlin would do. And by the way, Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock this morning. He did not shoot it down. He didn't say no. So at least there's that. Mike Tomlin also asked about who's going to play in this preseason game coming up on Friday. And he's delighted that the Texans are going to be playing their starters. The Steelers starters presumably will play, you know, in the first half, but not beyond that. And Tomlin said he'll hold out 7 players. Russell Wilson, not going to play.
Yep.
So we've been all over that.
Yep.
You said that last week, Doran, that Russell Wilson was probably not going to play in this game. Isaac Seumalo also won't play. T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Minka Fitzpatrick, Patrick Queen, and Alex Highsmith. Now, Patrick Queen and Alex Highsmith are nursing some bumps and bruises. Everybody else healthy. I think Patrick Queen probably would have played. I think Highsmith might have played. But so those are the 7 guys being held out. Anything in particular you'd like to sink your teeth into there?
No,
I mean, obviously, I would have liked to seen Queen, but if he's got some bumps and bruises, just
be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. This is more about preserving your people to make sure they're ready to peak come game one, especially veteran guys. Let's get as much look at these young guys as possible. Get them game ready and get them in the mindset of knowing what is expected on game day and leading up to game day.
Doug, this gives a great opportunity and a great look for Peyton Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Patrick Queen being out. I mean, you know, if he is bumps and bruises, whatever, I could have seen him not playing at all, even if he was fully healthy, because they want to see if Peyton Wilson can go in there and run a defense or and set a defense up where the green dot is. You like that, Crowley?
I love the green dot.
And go against some ones. Legit, you know, I mean, you're going against C.J. Stroud. He's going to play. Their offense is going to play. This is a great look for Peyton Wilson. It's a great situation for him.
Now, Tomlin also said that he considers this quarterback position to be a competition and says that right now Russell Wilson is the starter. But he also said, and this is from Alan Saunders, that in-stadium results will weigh more heavily than practice ones. So if Justin Fields is the only quarterback playing, that would give him a leg up to at least show his stuff, would it not?
That's an interesting competition, but we know how he labels competitions from the competition we had a couple years ago. So I understand his hyperbole, but I think when it comes down to it, Justin Fields is going to have to knock out the champ. He's going to have to come out there and not be 5 for 10 for 40 yards, but run 70 yards. That, to me, that doesn't do anything.
You want him to operate from the pocket?
I want him to be 8 for 10 for 120 with 40 yards rushing. That, to me, is the type of quarterback ascension I would think they would be looking for from Fields to knock out Russell Wilson as the starter.
In-stadium results can also mean previous. You know how Mike Tomlin is. I mean, if you're going on in-stadium, in-stadium results, I mean, Russell Wilson has a lot of in-stadium results, so...
I mean, I think there is a fine line, too, if he is just talking about the preseason games, where Kenny Pickett last year was money, We've never seen Kenny Pickett look better than he did last year in the preseason. He had a perfect passer rating. He torched the Buffalo Bills. People were dancing in the streets thinking it was going to be a Super Bowl. You're not going to have Justin Fields play better than Kenny did.
Would that have fooled you? Would that have fooled you as a GM last year?
Great question.
Like, and would you be weary of it this year if you're watching Justin Fields in the preseason?
No, it wouldn't have fooled me to say, all right, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer, which a lot of people were cementing him, because no one was game planning for him or game planning for what the Steelers were going to do. I would have been pleasantly surprised and happy saying, okay, we know this guy, when everything's clean, can function, find the right person, put him in spots where receivers can make plays after the catch, and have a complete, he seemed to have a complete mastery of the offense. So I would have been encouraged, but I wouldn't have been like, oh, this guy's going straight to Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Oh, hold on. It's like a pitcher. Second time through the order, guys are like, oh, I got a feel for this. All right, now that there's tape on this guy, let's put a game plan on to exploit his weaknesses and shut down his strengths.
Here's Mike Tomlin talking about Russell Wilson.
At what point do you become concerned about the lack of reps for Russ in the first team offense?
I'm not.
In stadium results.
Exactly.
Yeah. When you got jewelry, it's hard to question a guy that has jewelry.
I think we may well be laughing for different reasons here. Callis has the 18-minute press conference, and he's working his tail off to turn this thing around. And what we got from Mike Tomlin in the first 5 minutes of editing was a two-word answer. When would you be, Doug, if you're sitting there, you're Omar Khan, you're watching practice, maybe you're on the Bill Nunn bench, at what point do you go, all right, we need to see Russell Wilson work with these guys and start building more of a rapport? At what point would you start to worry?
If he's not ready to go on that, they got three preseason games. All right, if he misses the second one, that next day or the day they start practicing, he's got to get into that third season. And you may not even have to play him that third preseason, but he's got to take the majority of the reps with the first team going into that third preseason game. And if he doesn't, and it's after that third preseason game, that's when I get a little leery because of just the flow of everybody else being around Russell and knowing his mannerisms, his characteristics, how he calls plays, his inflection on his voice on the snap count, all that, those little things that you think are trivial but can affect the flow of an offense once you get onto when the lights are bright.
It also bears mentioning that he took 12 snaps yesterday in 11-on-11 team drills. So he is moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin was asked about the wide receiver core that he's got right here. Not Brandon Ayuk, but what are they working with and how do they look so far?
With the openings you have at wide receiver, how have you seen that playing out so far in the first few games?
I just like the way that group has worked. Getting to know particularly some of the new veteran guys in that group. Can't say enough about Van Jefferson and Scotty Miller, for example, guys that have shown really high floors in this process, man. They're really consistent in their performance, and they bring it every day, and that's kind of indicative of veteran players. Been pleased with the growth and the work coming from that group.
We laughed because we role played earlier as if Doran would be Mike Tomlin, and he just said everything that Doran said.
I'm impressed with the guys in the room. Listen, Scotty Miller, the veterans, you know, they're doing a good job, and I'm filibustering right now because I know that the next question is going to be about Brandon Ayuk, which I don't want to answer, and I'll let you all speculate.
It actually was, though. No, play the next one.
Was it the next question?
Are you actively looking to add to that part of your depth chart?
I'll let you guys speculate on that.
I mean, listen.
He is the master of saying a lot, but not saying a thing.
Yeah, he sure is. But when you are asked about the wide receiver room, and he didn't even talk about how good those guys have been. They've been consistent. They've got a high floor.
Yes, like, that's telling you a lot right there.
And it's Scotty Miller, for God's sake. We can. Hey, look, Van Jefferson's had a good year, and I guess Scotty Miller's had his moments. But like, you can't say the name Scotty Miller.
It's
and everyone in the room not think, boy, he ain't Brandon freaking Ayuk.
And it's, oh, they come to work hard, all that stuff. Geez. They're veterans. They better be.
They might have lunch pails.
Yeah, and guess what? They got great personalities, too.
They right. sure do. These guys, first in, last out. Yeah. They're putting the work in on the jug machine because these guys have had cups of coffee in the NFL before. This, that, and the other. We'll react to more of what Mike Tomlin had to say when we come back. Also, a couple more questions for Doug about what Brandon Ayuk's addition to the Steelers might mean for the Steelers. It hasn't happened yet. If it does, we'll let you know.
Do you want to see Broderick work at both tackle spots in this first preseason game?
He has been, and so it's reasonable to expect that to continue, yes.
Mike Tomlin earlier today, just moments ago, in fact, and thanks to Jeff Hathorn for sending us the audio and for Callis being quick on his feet and chopping it all up. So Broderick Jones going to be working at both tackles. Dorn and I want him to start at left. We want Troy Feltonu to start at right tackle. Mike also asked about the center battle currently going on.
How do you weigh the fact that Frazier is a rookie, but also at the same time Herbig is kind of learning, specifying a new position at center himself?
Herbig's got experience at the position. I wouldn't say that it's new to him. He's done it in the NFL. He's got starter experience at the position on other teams in the NFL. And so I don't know how I would describe him as inexperienced in it.
So there you go. Mike Tomlin with more word salad, and Zach Frazier currently listed as a backup. Broderick Jones on the depth chart right now currently listed as the starter at right tackle, and Dan Moore Jr. listed as the starter at left tackle. Mike Tomlin kind of cemented that today, from what I understand, just reading some of the beat writer stuff that got put out there, that Dan Moore Jr. he's definitely the starter right now. We've talked about this a bunch, Doug. We've said it makes a lot more sense for Broderick to be left, for Troy Feltonu to be right. They've experimented kind of with all those different things. How do you see it?
Well, I think the key to me is them experimenting. I would rather them, especially these first couple weeks, putting guys at all different types of positions because you're going to have injuries. So you can find out what's the best mix if Feltonu goes down. Do you say Moore into the left, Jones back to right, or do you say Moore in the right, left? So, hey, that's what I think, especially when you have a mix of young and experienced offensive line. That's what I think preseason is about. Let's find out the different combinations because in-game injuries, let's know what's the best combination we can put out there instead of saying, well, let's try to do this and not really have a feel. That's to me is why you do training camp, especially at the O-line. Where is that combination that's going to have them fit like a glove if your left tackle goes down, if your left guard goes down, if your center goes down, right? So that, to me, I like that experiment. If we're walking out and I would want to win the Super Bowl right now, I would say and I haven't been to practice, I would just say off of pedigree, Broderick left, Feltonu right, Dan Moore swing. And if I'd start working Dan Moore into guard. Mm-hmm. So he could be that two-tool guy, knowing that. So you'd have Dan Moore and Frazier or Herbig as your your active guys. So you have a swing center guard, you have a swing tackle guard, and then whoever your third one is there, then you have yourself covered no matter what happens. That's the way you got to think.
How hard is it for guys to win jobs over starters in training camp? Like let's say this situation. Dan Moore Jr. has been a starter for how many years now? Was a starter at left tackle last year. How hard is it for Feltonu, even though he's a first-round pick, to actually win a job in a starting job in training camp? I feel like I don't see that as much as people think.
No, and it's one of those things where he's got to, because I said it before, you got to knock out the champ, because one thing that all coaches are liable for is feeling comfort.
Mm-hmm.
They never want to be in their uncomfortable zone.
Mm-hmm.
And they are comfortable with Dan Moore because he's played a lot of football. They've won games. They've been to a playoff game with him. And when you look at the return on your investment that you're getting from Dan Moore, he's a fourth-round pick, and he's playing left tackle in the league. Is he great? No. But the return on it has been pretty good, and he makes the coaches comfortable. So this is where I will say that the performance in-game and these preseason games are going to be more impactful for a Feltonu than a Justin Fields.
Mike Tomlin asked about Whether or not the Steelers could acquire a wide receiver.
Are you actively looking to add to that part of your depth chart? Or?
You know, I'll let you guys speculate on that.
So he didn't say no. So as we toggle back and forth between the current roster and the potential roster with the potential addition of Brandon Ayuk, Ray Fittipaldo was on with us earlier, Doug. And he said he thinks the Steelers are a team that could make the playoffs right now. He thinks they're a team that could win the division with Ayuk. Do you agree with that?
It puts them in the conversation. Again, like I said before, because you're going to be able to score points. And once you score points and you get a lead and in the fourth quarter, then that's when the defense starts salivating. And then that just propels the defense to higher levels and higher execution. So I think you really do have a chance to be in that conversation. The only caveat I would say out there is we obviously know Baltimore does not play well against the Steelers. Steelers have their number. What is the Bengals and the Houdet and Burrow going to come out looking like? That's the only one right there, because that is a different level of competition when Burrow is on his game. And we've seen it, AFC's seen it, and the NFL have seen it.
How much could Ayuk raise the level of Russell Wilson or even Justin Fields' play?
I'd say tremendously, because when you look at it now, when you have Ayuk, you have Freiermuth, those two, and then even the disgruntled guy out there, you're going to have three options that are going to be set up by the emphasis on the running game and then the different personnel groupings that Arthur Smith can use. You're now... defense can't just focus in on one guy. And that would be – now you got to look at three guys after you make sure you stop the run. So I think it just elevates the options that those guys have, not only the quarterback, but Arthur Smith.
Tomlin has wanted to win, and they've won their fair share of games the last few years, running the ball, particularly in the second half of seasons, playing good defense, winning one-score games. Do you think with – the potential addition of Ayuk, that he would be comfortable letting the offense win games for them?
I think so, not only because of Ayuk, but because of Arthur Smith. Because of a guy that has pelts on the wall, not only as an offensive coordinator, but as an NFL head coach. So he's going to be trusting him to say, that's you're the head coach of the offense. Let me be the head coach of the defense and the special teams, and any critical situations we'll confer. We'll actually have it mapped out from game planning in the week and the night before. But any critical situations, I know I can beep in and say, let's run this. Or, hey, I remember I like this play. Let's do that. But other than that, run with it. So that's where I think the major impact of Arthur Smith is going to come into play.
Are you a hunter, Doug? Do you have pelts on your own wall?
I do not have pelts on my own wall. I'm not a hunter. I do shoot guns, like skeet shooting and all that stuff, but...
You haven't killed a thing.
Haven't killed a thing.
Okay. So well, just like those clay things.
Don't count.
No, they don't. I mean, wait. Oh, buddy. We are in it now. Do you have any of those creatures flying around your house? Those spotted lantern flies?
Yeah.
Last year drove me nuts. Now, it used to be when the crickets start coming out, you know football's here. And if you're a kid, school's here. Now, whenever you get to crush those things, you know football's right around the corner.
What happened to the cicadas? Weren't they supposed to come out this year?
I don't know. I wonder if the lantern flies, they were on their corner and they said, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, they were like, this is our stoop.
This is our turf now.
No doubt.
Stoop man afraid to leave his stoop.
Yes.
Yep. Get off my block.
Social media's biggest loser is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. We want you to come back after this break. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. Have one more question about Brandon Ayuk for you, Doug. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Doug Whaley with us for one more segment, and you wanted to talk about Pickens.
Yes, and everybody's thinking, oh, if Ayuk comes, then Pickens going to be a malcontent. I think this would be, if Ayuk comes, this could be the best thing for Pickens as a professional. Two things. Lets him understand that this is a business and you have to produce. But guess what? If Ayuk's here and they're not going to pay you, the best way to get paid is to shut up, play, and produce.
Yes.
And you can learn from a guy that is just got what you're trying to strive for. And guess what? If he doesn't do that, you got your answer. get rid of him anyway. He wasn't going to be. It may save the Steelers for paying for Pickens when he's not going to be a guy that turns into a true professional.
I think this whole situation is all predicated on how fast Roman Wilson can come and be a legit component to it. Like, I feel like George Pickens' future is not about what Brandon Ayuk does. I think it's really what about Roman Wilson can do, because then you don't have to pay Roman. Roman Wilson could be the number two of the future. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay him for how many years, and then you could just let George walk at the end of the day. But I think that the Steelers are looking for George to paint them in that corner, like make a tough decision on George this year, and he's going to have every opportunity to do that if they do make this trade.
Yeah, I agree. I think even if, like you said, if Ayuk comes, Pickens, he should take it. If I was Pickens' agent, I'd be like, listen, you take this as he is your mentor. You do everything, because what you're trying to achieve,
yes,
he just did it. So why not just copy him? And don't sit there and be a malcontent and say, boo, poor is me and everything. This is your chance, because everybody, if you play good, you get paid good.
Mm-hmm.
So play good.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be here.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be here.
And I don't think he cares.
No.
Where he gets paid.
No.
When you're talking about, at that point, 30 plus million dollars.
2 years from now, he'd probably be getting 35, close to 40.
Man.
Yeah. If he does the right thing.
Yep.
The Penguins have sent out a tweet.
Mm-mm. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sid. Yeah.
Wasn't somebody saying he was going to sign on 8, like it was out there, the Twitterverse or X-verse?
I think Penguins fans have been hoping for that, because it's been so long since the day that we all thought it would get done, which was July 1st, that they were thinking, okay, today, 8-7 day, makes a ton of sense. Well, now 8:07 a.m. has passed. We'll wait until 8:07 p.m. We'll see what goes on. Mm-hmm. But I imagine that the Penguins are putting out videos like this. If they would have had something done, they'd have announced that too.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a press conference and all that fun stuff. So maybe we'll have a Crosby contract to talk about tomorrow. Thank you, Doug.
Oh, appreciate it, fellas.
I'm the man.
Yep.
I'm out next week.
Oh, no.
No, meaning I'll call in.
Oh.
But the week after that, I'm on vacay.
Oh, well,
but
well, preseason
you.
Vacay?
Preseason vacay.
Very nice. Good. Maybe we'll have a Brandon Ayuk situation to talk about.
What would Trump, Sidney Crosby's contract extension or Brandon Ayuk? We'll get to more play.
We'll discuss tomorrow at 5:40. Thank you, Callis. We hand things over to Starkey and Zeiss. Coming up next, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Yeah, good stuff, Callis. Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet up to 7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 79.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.